getting Americans to appreciate and value our American Constitution, which is our nation's founding document. That's our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Rick Green, who works alongside David Barton with wallbuilders.org. And Rick has his own group as well called Patriot Academy, patriotacademy.com. Rick, thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, always good to be with you, brother.
Sure. Okay, tell us about Patriot Academy, and then we'll get right into the issue of appreciating the Constitution.
You got it, man. We've been doing this 20 years. It's all about inspiring and equipping our fellow citizens to preserve liberty at whatever level they're at. You know, for some of them, it's local, some it's state, some it's federal, but in whatever area they can make a difference, raising their kids, teaching their kids to be patriots, helping young people to understand the value of freedom. We got about 10,000 Constitution coaches across the country hosting classes, bringing people together for good fellowship, but also studying the Constitution and a biblical worldview of how to be a good citizen. So it's an exciting time with the challenges we're facing in the nation. It's like Reagan said, I'm glad I don't live in pale and timid times. We're in tough times right now for America, but I believe for such a time as this, God prepared Patriot Academy to be able to equip and inspire people to make a difference.
You know, it's interesting. You've been doing this, you say, for about 20 years. When you first started, the word patriot didn't really have negative connotations that I know of. But now there are a lot of people in our society that almost view the word patriot as too much or extremist. It might even be flagged by some of the social media outlets like Twitter or, you know, Facebook or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right, Jerry. I mean, it's been interesting to watch that happen, and especially in the last, you know, really year and a half, 2 years, there's been a real effort to make even the word, you know, an evil word, and that you're supposedly some kind of domestic terrorist or whatever crazy thing they want to attach to it, when in fact it means you love your country, you want to fight for your country, you want your country to stay free. The founders talked a lot about patriotism and how important it was. And you know, so I've seen exactly what you're talking about, and even heard some of those things said about our organization, when nothing could be further from the truth in terms of what our actual goals and motivation is. And you know, it's sad. I mean, it's the destruction of just the basic value system that made America the greatest, most powerful, most free, most benevolent nation in history. Is sad to watch. But you've got a large percentage of this country now that have been raised in this education system that degrades America and teaches critical race theory and teaches the kids to hate each other and hate themselves and hate their nation. And that has an impact. I mean, we see the impact, you know, in the streets. We see it in the politicians. And the only way to turn that around is to get to truth. We've got to seek truth, and we got to share that truth. We got to fight for that truth. And when it comes to the truth about the principles of liberty, the good thing is that the history's on our side, that the truth is on our side. The bad thing is that very few people teach it. Very few people know it anymore. And that's one reason people enjoy our classes so much, because it's an eyes wide open, jaw on the ground sometimes, shocking information when you really get down to it. And of course, you know this, you teach the same things, and you see the people, you know, amazed at once you really lay out what the real American story is. Not perfect, of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you share it all. You've seen the same kind of response in people that we see all the time, and they wake up and they go, wow, America is worth fighting for. This value system is something that we should defend. There's a reason that most immigrants, you know, in the entire world are here in America. We have more immigrants in America than the second, third, fourth, and fifth nations combined. We have more than the bottom 150 nations combined. I mean, if America's so bad, man, why are so many people trying to get in and so few trying to get out?
Okay, why is the Constitution special?
Well, you know, we have the greatest, you know, longest living experiment in constitutional republic governance in history. And the reason is because the founders had a very good, solid biblical foundation of understanding that, as Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is evil, no man can know it. They wanted that separation of powers, and not only a separation of powers, but clearly defined powers. The great thing about our Constitution that's being ignored now was ignored with the Supreme Court decision on the vaccine mandates, but the great thing about it, if we can get back to it, is that it's built around jurisdictions, that each level of government can only do certain things. And if we didn't give a particular specific power to the federal government in the Constitution, then it doesn't exist for them. It goes to the states and to the people. And I think that was one of the most important things that made the American system so powerful. But without the Constitution, that's gone. Without the Constitution, the federal government becomes a national government that can do anything that it wants, micromanage every part of your life, from your kids' education to the light bulbs in your house, how much water goes through your toilet, what kind of medicines you can get or can't get. All of those things get done at a federal level for 330 million people, this faraway government in Washington, D.C., and it's usually bureaucrats, not elected officials, even at that level. And so without those constitutional jurisdictions, everything falls apart, and liberty is lost and tyranny wins. We've got to come back to the Constitution and understand enumerated powers and the jurisdiction of government and put the federal government back into that box of those 17 things the Constitution says it can do, instead of the thousands of things it's doing now that it was never into do, and that, frankly, it's very lousy at doing.
In a lot of the law schools today, I've been told they don't even teach the Constitution. What they'll do is they'll teach Supreme Court decisions, and therefore they'll be studying the precedents of the Supreme Court decision as the Supreme Court is making decisions supposedly based on the Constitution. And how about a comment about that? And then I want to ask you about God and the Constitution, because another facet of what's taught in the law schools today sometimes is this book called The Godless Constitution. So that's really two questions. If you want to go ahead and just take them one at a time, that's great.
Well, in the first one, you nailed. You put your finger on the very issue that is why the government's out of control, and it's because we've taught all of our attorneys and our judges that they make their rulings based on what previous judges did instead of what on the actual Constitution says. And that's why I call it the Courtstitution. We don't live under the Constitution right now in America. We live under the Courtstitution. We live under a phrase here and a phrase there and an opinion here and an opinion there and a three-part test from this judge and another two-part test from this judge. And it's a confusing mess. And not only that, it's literally an oligarchy. It's an elitist group making law for 330 million people. And that's really what I'd say to your listeners. Is there anybody out there that thinks it's a good idea for five unelected, unaccountable lawyers in Washington, D.C. to make law for the entire nation of 330 million people? Because that's the system we have right now. When five out of the nine unelected Supreme Court justices decide that something's a good idea or should be a law, and they write their, quote, opinion on that, everybody just bows to it and says, well, that's the law of the land now. That was not the design of the founders. That was not the design of the Constitution itself. But that is how the Courtstitution works. And we, the people, have got to step up. The state governments have got to step up and overrule the federal government through constitutional amendments and restore the Constitution by overruling the Courtstitution.
Okay, God and the Constitution.
Yeah, the book you mentioned, in fact, when you and I were talking the other day on our Wallbuilders Live radio program, you pointed it out. I mean, it's a book called The Godless Constitution that they're teaching in law schools and colleges across the country that doesn't even have footnotes, doesn't have endnotes, doesn't have, a documentation and evidence of where they get this claim that God's not part of the American founding. When, in fact, you go to books like yours, when you go to Sacred Fire, when you go to David Barton's Original Intent, or you go to my book, Freedom's Frame, or go through any of my Constitution classes and use our workbooks, it's footnote after footnote after footnote to show the evidence of the fact that the Founding Fathers absolutely were founding this country, both the Declaration, the Constitution, the way they governed, all of it based on a biblical worldview and the proper role of government and government's jurisdiction according to the way God created it. And according to the example of the Republican form of government that we get out of Exodus, choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, thousands, that's local, county, state, federal government. I mean, those types of things were in the minds of the Founding Fathers and found its way into our founding documents and the early laws and the way they governed. And, there's a lot of people out there that don't like that because they don't want God in the equation. They don't want any level of accountability. They don't want anybody to be able to tell them something's right or wrong. And, Jerry, this all comes back to a conversation you and I have had in the past. It comes down to moral relativism versus moral absolute. If you can get God out of the equation, if you can say there is no God or there's no God in government or in the Constitution, then that means anything goes and everything's okay. There are no moral absolutes at that point. It's all moral relativism. That's what our nation has embraced over the last few decades. That's at the heart of every societal problem we have right now. And if we come back to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution both, we'll find that truth matters. We hold these truths to be self-evident, the Declaration tells us. You don't get to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness if you don't start with, we hold these truths. And then we find in the Constitution very clearly delineated truths and very clearly delineated rules for how the government should work. When you get to moral relativism, then we let the government do whatever they want. We let people do anything and everything that they want. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. We've got this new, very secular definition of liberty that leads to chaos. And bringing God back to the equation and rediscovering the truth of our founding, that's how you get rid of the chaos and you get back to a society that people can enjoy and be, you know, be a place where you want to raise your kids. I mean, people are now going, man, where can I move to? I'm living in a place where it's absolute chaos with all the things they're doing at the local schools and local government. We can turn that around, but not if we don't go back to biblical citizenship, back to that foundation the nation was.
Well, John Adams, one of our key founding fathers, made a statement. I know you know this statement very, very well. You've probably said it hundreds of times, but I want you to comment on it. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other.
Yeah, you know, and combine that with the things Benjamin Rush said about having a constitutional republic. And what Adams was really saying there is you can't have a constitutional republic where you elect representatives and expect them to be held accountable to the document, to the written jurisdictions that they're given, if you don't have a moral people. Because if you don't have that moral and religious foundation in the nation, you're going to end up with leaders that are willing to sell you down the river, that are willing to sell away your freedom, that are willing to assume power and assume corrupt power because of the lack of that moral compass. So I think they were both right. You know, a constitutional republic just doesn't work if you don't have morality in the culture. If you don't have morality, then you end up with people literally willing to run your life, take over your life, and Jerry, if I could say so, make decisions like they have during the COVID crackdowns that cost lives. I mean, in my opinion, it's like negligent homicide. Whenever you hide treatments from people, when you lie about what can actually be done, but they're doing that because they're driven by money, they're driven by power, and they don't have the moral compass to say, wait a minute, is this the right thing to do? Does this fall within the Ten Commandments and what makes a good society? Those things don't matter if you're not a moral person and you've been raised in a culture that says morality doesn't matter and it's your own truth. I've got my truth. You've got your truth. So I think Adams and Rush were right, and I think we're seeing that, you know, and I'm not a negative person. I mean, I'm usually very optimistic, but I have to be honest and say eyes wide open, looking at what's happening in the culture. We're seeing the result of moral relativism destroy the foundations of America. It's not too late. I think God's not done with us yet. But, man, we have got to get back to the truth and got to get back to those foundations. And people have got to get off the sidelines and not just enjoy the blessings of liberty. They've got to start bearing the burden that comes with it. As Thomas Paine said, if you want to enjoy those blessings of freedom, you've got to be willing to undergo the fatigues of supporting it.
Okay, we have about a minute left. What would you like to see for American renewal? And by the way, since you just mentioned Thomas Paine, mentioned the fact that later he lost his faith, but earlier in the American experience, I mean, even like with his book Common Sense, it's pro-God, it's pro the Word of God, the actual book itself. But then when then 20 years later, he writes The Age of Reason, and it was all anti-Christian from there.
That's right. And in those early days, even with the American crisis, you know, you're pulling on, you're drawing on that biblical foundation and the things that he was even taught with that worldview, which is kind of how Franklin chastised him even 20 years later with The Age of Reason, was the reason you're a good man is because of the Christian foundation, the biblical foundation that you were taught as a kid. But, you know, I'll just say last thing, Jerry, this has got to happen at the local level. People have got to find community with others that want liberty and want a biblical foundation. So I'm encouraging churches to have classes where they come together and discuss these things and really look at what the Bible says about the solutions, because the good thing is all the solutions to everything we're facing are in the Bible. And that's one of the reasons our biblical citizenship course is so popular right now, and all those coaches are hosting that. And I just encourage people to check that out at patriotacademy.com. It's all free. We give it all away for free. We've got donors that make that possible because they want to see people doing this as well. And you'll find hope in those classes when you look across the living room or across the church. You realize I'm not alone. There's other people that care about these things, and we can sharpen iron together. We can sharpen each other's countenance. We can rediscover these truths, and if you'll raise the banner, I promise you, other people in your church will rally around it.
PatriotAcademy.com. Rick Green, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
You too, Jerry. God bless you, man. Thanks for what you do.
Okay, God bless. You too. Bye-bye.